Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. And for the next few moments, I'd like to invite you to stay tuned. Stay tuned for 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, a whole lot of education, and never any manipulation. You know the name of the game. We're here to give you accurate information, not human speculation, nothing to try to play gimmicks with you, nothing for you to join, not trying to get you to fess up, show up, give up, nothing like that. Just give you accurate information that relates to the Word of God. And if that information is accurate, you can orient and adjust to that information. You can accept it, you can believe it, and apply it into your life. The name of the show is, as always, The Flotline, F-L-O-T. And that's where we're using a military analogy to describe the Christian life. FLOT stands for the Forward Line of Troops. And we've been teaching on this show for a long time that you can learn 10 unique problem-solving devices found in the Word of God. And they act as a forward line of troops inside your soul. And these doctrines, these biblical principles that we're talking about, these 10 unique problem-solving devices will stop the outside source of adversity before it becomes the inside source of stress. You've heard me say that adversity is inevitable and stress is optional. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you never have to live a stress-filled life, which means you don't have to worry, you don't have to be afraid, you don't have to be bitter, you don't have to carry guilt. Our Lord demonstrated this unique lifestyle, and then He passed it on to us. It's called the Christian life. And that's what this show is about, giving you the operational procedures that are available, explaining the assets that you have, what God has made available, so that you can have the most fantastic life in the devil's environment, so that you can keep a life going here of supreme happiness. That's one of the problem-solving devices, plus H. The happiness that the Lord Jesus Christ gives us. He said it clearly in Luke 11, 27 and 28, when He said, happiness belongs to those people who hear My Father's word and keep it. And that is the secret to having happiness in your life too. Without that momentum, without hearing and keeping God's word, at best what you have is a shot in the dark. At best what you have is some human viewpoint thinking of what someone's going to tell you they think you should do to be happy. But the Bible lays it out. The Word of God lays it out. And if you listen, if you learn, if you apply, then you have that tremendous insight, that tremendous wisdom, that tremendous understanding that God promises to those who grow in the grace and the knowledge of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. On occasion, you've known me to have a person that we would interview on this radio show. Have not interviewed anyone in quite a while. But today I have a special friend in the studio with me. This young man I've known for at least 4 or 5 years. He's an amazing young man, and I want to introduce him to you, and I'd like for you to hear a little bit about the way he thinks. This is today's generation. And what gets me is I travel around and speak in schools all over the country and meet young people all over the country, is today's generation normally does not have a clue as to what's going on. Just a week or two ago, when the bombing occurred in Boston, I was speaking in a school. And as I spoke in that school, I looked to see if any student would ever bring it up. Any of the students that I met, would they talk about it? Or did they even know it happened? And none even mentioned it. And finally, one kid, I couldn't resist it. I had to ask him, and he said to me, well, I heard something happen, but I don't know really what it was. What happened? You see, most young people are concerned with only just a few things in life, their immediate daily needs, because they don't have a personal sense of destiny. They don't have 10 problem-solving devices in their life. So they're looking for happiness on what we call the My Way Highway. Maybe you've got a grandson or a granddaughter or even a daughter or a son that is like this. They have not oriented and adjusted to the Word of God. Well, the young man that's here today, he's a rare exception. And it is my privilege to introduce to you my friend, Mark Sigmund. Mark, say hello.
How are you doing?
I think I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Happy to be on the show with you.
Mark, tell us how old you are.
I am 23 years old.
Man, the kid hadn't even started shaving yet. 23 years old. And Mark is from?
China Spring, Texas.
Where is China Spring, Texas?
It's somewhere out there kind of by Waco, about 15, 20 miles outside of Waco. Little bitty town.
Well, we do have a radio show in Waco. Have you ever heard it out there?
I sure have, in the morning.
Great. Every Sunday morning in Waco, this show, The Flatline, plays on KIX, I think is the name of that station. And your mom helped us get that thing started out there. Mark grew up in San Antonio, Texas as a young man before he moved up to China Springs and graduated from high school and had something very distinct happen in his life. The very distinct thing that happened in his life is he was able to get a scholarship to Texas A&M University. This is a scholarship awarded by the Marine Corps for a period of 4 years at college at Texas A&M, which he has now graduated with a degree in finance. 4 years of active duty in the Marine Corps, and that's what he's doing here today. He's on his way to Quantico, Virginia, for the Officers Corps, the Marine Corps. And then after that, 4 years of reserve duty. So a total of a 12-year commitment for the scholarship. And what was that? I think I saw you holding up a check one time. Was that like a $100,000 check?
Yeah, something like that. It got presented to me by the Marine Corps in China Spring at our graduation ceremony.
Wow. That is pretty awesome, man.
Yes, it was.
Did you have any left over that you could loan me or anything like that?
No, I think we had to use it all up in college there.
Heck. Well, let's start with this, Mark. Let's go back. I know that you accepted Christ as a young man. And so if I ask you, are you a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to tell me, yes, you are.
Absolutely.
But as a young man, how did you orient to God's Word in your life? Give me some background, will you?
Sure. Well, I was one of the very lucky few. I was blessed to grow up learning Bible doctrine from my parents and from Bobby Thieme and from Colonel Thieme down there at BRAC. I'm sure you're pretty familiar
with
them
as well.
Well,
a lot of our listeners are not familiar with that. That's terminology they may not be familiar with, but what he's talking about is actually my pastor as well. This was Colonel Bob Thieme, retired military colonel who pastored at Baraka Church for 53 years. And then now his son, Bobby, who is a dear friend of mine, is pastor there at that church and has been for about the last 9 years. So you're saying that your mom grew up. So go ahead with the story.
Yes, I was blessed. I was taught throughout my whole life to learn God's Word and apply it as best as I could in difficult situations of adversity throughout my time growing up. One of those especially tough times was whenever I moved from San Antonio to China Spring. I was my fifth grade year, and I had to move at the end of it. And I had all my friends there my whole life, and my parents just kept on telling me, you know, Mark, everything happens for a reason. It's part of God's plan. Everything is for your benefit. And I just had to trust them. It was difficult, but we got through it.
You remember the fifth grade?
I sure do, believe it or not.
I don't remember that far back myself. Oh, yeah, I do. I spent the best 3 years of my life in the fifth grade. I wasn't dumb. I was just stupid. See, dumb means you don't have a lot of brains, and stupid means you got them, you just don't use them. I finally got out of the fifth grade. Did you know that?
That's great.
Yeah, great. Good, at least I played football.
Yeah, you did do that, finally.
I did. So now, tell me, I want to know a little bit about how God's Word, how you use it in your life. First of all, this thing with the Marine Corps, I mean, they don't give a $100,000 scholarship away every day. How did that come about? How did you see God's hand in that?
Well, I applied for the scholarship my senior year, and I thought I was actually probably not going to get the scholarship because whenever I had a Marine Corps officer come down and interview me for the scholarship, and I also had to do a physical training test to make sure I was physically qualified for the scholarship. But a couple of days beforehand, I got injured in football. I hurt my arm really bad, and I wasn't going to be able to perform the PFT. And so we talked to the officer, and he said, well, you know, I'm still going to come down there and interview you and talk to you and just to see how things are going. And I was like, okay. So I came in there and wore my best suit that I could find and interviewed him. And he just plainly asked me, are you able to complete the requirements? And I said, yes, I am. I'm physically able to do those, and I can get those pretty easily. And so he's like, okay, well, I'll go ahead and submit your package and we'll see what happens. And so I thought for sure, you know, I'd even take the a physical requirement, and I had been told this is a very difficult scholarship to get, and I thought, especially since I didn't even do the PT in front of him, that there's no way I was going to be able to get it. But a couple of months later, sure enough, through God's grace, I found out I got my scholarship after all, and it was truly amazing moment in my life for me to see how God's plan really worked through me, and it was very clear to me what His plan was.
When you went through Texas A&M University, 4 years there, it's hard for me to say Texas A&M because they defeated Alabama this year, which is where I played football. But anyhow, as you went through Texas A&M University, can you relate to me how God's Word gave you clear thinking and what some of the things you saw other students going through and how you might have avoided some of those traps that are on the my way highway?
Absolutely. I mean, in college, I guess you could probably see a lot of students doing the my way highway, and people would just get so stressed out about school, about life, about everything, being involved in too much. And what I was able to do is apply my doctrine, what I learned throughout my whole life, and really focused in on, hey, what's important in life? Is it really, you know, all the extracurricular events you can do, or is it focusing on the Word and applying it and trying to help others who are in dire need of that? And I know plenty of kids down there in College Station, you know, have that exact problem. They're looking for answers, and sometimes they don't have them, and they're looking for them. And that's, I would try to help kids as much as I could with that.
Sometimes I've taught on the cosmic vortex. I don't know if you've ever heard me teach on that before, but it's like this invisible tornado that's swirling around out there, and it sucks people into it. It's called the spirit of times or the zeitgeist. And I know it's true. My daughter went off to college at Auburn and just about got destroyed her first year. And you see that all the time.
Absolutely. It's very easy to get sucked into that stuff while you're down there.
Tell us a little bit about what you did at college at Texas A&M. You were in the core, and explain the difference between the core and the regular students that are there.
Well, the core has been around since the school was founded. The A&M was a military college, and you were only allowed to go to A&M if you were in this military organization called the core. And eventually it changed, and normal students were allowed to come in and everything else. So the core is what's left over from the military. And not all people in the core are joining the military. A lot of people do it for tradition, or, you know, they want to challenge their life, whatever their reasons might be. And so I was in the core in Company E2, which was the mascot company. We had the privilege of taking care of Reveille, the mascot of A&M.
I think I saw a picture of you with a dog.
Yes, I'm sure you did. We got to do a lot of really neat stuff with Reveille. So I was in charge of my outfit. I was the commander of E2, so I was in charge of around 70 other guys.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did, being a believer, did you have any problems in college as far as your beliefs and situations you were put into that where you had to compromise or anything?
Well, definitely. I mean, there's a lot of challenging situations whenever you're in charge of a lot of other kids that really test you. You know, whether you hear people talk behind your back and you want to react, but you can't do it. And there's plenty of situations that might make you angry with changing times, or I mean, there's plenty of stuff like that. Like you said, the cosmic vortex, and it is hard to not react to those things. And
that's one of the things I try to teach, is the difference between responding and reacting. And when a person that has some humility comes under pressure, he will normally respond to the pressure, even forgiving people that wrong him. Like the Bible says, forgive one another, be kind, mm-hmm. tenderhearted one another. But a person that's arrogant when he's put under pressure, he will normally react. And he'll normally go off on some sort of emotional tangent, get mad, lose his temper, blow his top, say things you shouldn't say, etc. And so hearing you say that you learned, using the Word of God, you learned how to respond. See, you're so rare, man. You're one out of a million young people that understand that. And so much credit goes to your mother and your father.
Absolutely.
And the faithful way that they prayed for you and raised you and taught you. That's amazing. And now you're facing 4 years of active duty in the Marine Corps. What do you see out there? What do you think's going to happen?
Well, it's definitely an interesting time to join, I have to say, and I'm not sure exactly what I expect, but tell you what I am hoping for is an opportunity to witness to some of these young guys that join the military right out of high school or whatever, and I'll be in a position where I can hopefully witness to them and help them learn the Word of God like I have. And I'll have to apply kind of the same stuff that God's been testing with me throughout college. Like you said, I'll have to respond and not react to a lot of different circumstances in the military.
Yeah, you're going in the Marine Corps. You're going in as a second lieutenant right now?
Yes, that's correct.
And hopefully you'll be, for long, you'll be a first lieutenant and then a captain, huh?
Well, hopefully, yes.
Do you want to go overseas? You want to serve overseas?
I would like to, yes, sir.
Well, that's amazing. And then 4 years reserve after that. So 12-year total commitment in order to get this scholarship. And I know the Marine Corps is proud to have you. They're proud to have someone of your stature, proud to have someone that has a clear, level head and thinks like you think. Can you tell me anything about how prayer is effective in your life and how you use prayer as a young soldier?
Yes, I think prayer is extremely important, especially, I know throughout my whole life I've been blessed with my family praying for me, and I'm sure that God has protected me more times than I can count being in the situations that I've been in. And prayer, I think, is very important for a young soldier, especially in a combat situation or in any kind of dangerous situation. You got to pray for your men and pray for the safety of the mission, and it's extremely important. Prayer calms you, and it gives you somewhere to focus your energy. And I think that prayer is one of the most important things.
That's amazing, because I see a lot of times some of the television reality shows that I may watch dealing with bomb removal units or pararescue units, and they always pray before they go out on a mission. And although we're told here in America you can't pray in the school, mm-hmm. you can't pray on the campus, but when it gets into life and when your life is on the line, a lot of people do a lot of praying.
Yes, they do. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. What about this? What about in your life as far as when we teach these 10 problem-solving devices, rebound? Now, you know what that is.
I do. And learned that from a very young age.
Learned how to confess your sins when you're a young guy, huh?
Uh-huh.
How has the faith rest drill helped you in your life? Tell us about that, standing on the promises of God.
Well, whenever you're faced with a difficult situation, I fell in this a lot. I would think to myself, okay, what is the right way to handle this situation? And I would think back to some of the promises that I've been taught, and some of my favorite verses, I think, that really can apply to that. And one verse that I especially thought of, because I had to go through a lot of hard circumstances, was Philippians 4:13. Right. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. And I've thought of that verse so many times. And people look at things from so many different perspectives. And I think the correct way is from a divine viewpoint way, which is a way of looking at things from a biblical standard. And so many people, they don't have that. And they just have their human viewpoint. And they don't really understand situations. You know, adversity is a good thing. And I think a lot of people think, oh, man, why is this happening to me? I'm getting punished and everything else, whereas a doctrinal believer can look at it, okay, I'm having a tough time, but I have a much higher chance for advancing myself and improving myself as a person as well as a believer.
When you say a doctrinal believer, that may be a term that some of our friends might not be familiar with, but what you're actually referring to is a believer who knows the Word of God, it's much more than just ritual without reality. And in what Mark is saying is that so many believers just go to church and there's ritual and no reality to it. A doctrinal believer is a believer who's under a qualified pastor, who studies the Word of God, applies the Word of God, develops divine viewpoint way of thinking. And so that's just a term used to apply to a mature believer who's growing in the grace and knowledge of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, every day. And that's what we always encourage our friends on the radio station to do. At 23 years old, Mark Sigmund is on his way to being a real qualified baton carrier. You've been listening to me talk about passing the baton for the last few weeks. We've done 6 radio shows, and now we have a young man here that can illustrate the very principles that we've been teaching. As you get older, as I get older, we find that our time on earth is about up, and so we want to pass the baton to the next generation. We want to pass the baton of Bible doctrine, the baton of the Word of God, so that we can have a free nation in the future. Remember that America is built on a client nation. God has protected us, and God has provided for us, and God has used us to evangelize the world. And as we begin to shut down on our mission emphasis, as we shut down on home missions, and now we can't do this or we can't do that, that's against the law, this is against the law. Now you can see America crumbling from within. And yet I know that that pivot is required. You've heard me speak about a pivot of mature believers, a core group of mature believers that will carry on the freedom that we enjoy as God blesses them. And it is my prayer that Mark is part of that pivot. I believe that he is, that it's his generation that will win or lose our freedom in the future. Many of the young people that I speak to in schools, and for the last 2 weeks I've been on the road traveling speaking to schools, many of these young people go to church. Many of them are in Sunday school. Many of them do go through traditional organized religion, but they do not understand the mechanics to the Christian life, Mark. That's what's a shame. I had one kid tell me, I've learned more listening to you this week than I have my whole life in church. And I don't go to their churches, so I don't know what they're hearing, but it's just frustrating because they don't understand the mechanics. That's where you got a heads up. You know how to stay in fellowship. You know how to grow in grace. You know when suffering comes into your life, whether it's for testing or for blessing. You've learned that, and God's going to use you as a witness in his program. I assure you of that. The verse that you spoke about, Philippians 3:14, there's another verse right after that, and it says, I press forward towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And I forget those things that are behind me. I reach forward to those things that are ahead. And here's the principle that I'd like to lay out today for anyone that might be listening. If you're going to be a mature believer, if you're going to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then you're going to have to understand that you may not be able to escape your past failures. They are there. You failed. I failed. But we cannot let the past hinder us from reaching the finish line, from reaching the finish line of spiritual maturity and eventually transferring face to face to be with our Savior. And so sometimes guilt is an amazing thing, Mark. People get full of guilt because of something that happened in the past. And I remember a listener to one of my radio shows a few years ago called me, and he actually told me, he said, I'm thinking about committing suicide. And I said, why? He said, well, I'm in debt. I've lost a lot of money. My wife doesn't know it. And he said, if I commit suicide, she can collect on the insurance policy. Well, I tried to explain how crazy that was and got him some professional help, got him with a doctor and with a lawyer, but he still committed suicide. He still did it. Because of the guilt that he had from the failure in his life. It's so sad to see people live with guilt. Did you ever see that in college, or have you seen that in your life yet? Have you encountered anything like that yet?
Maybe not to that degree, but yes. I mean, I think I've seen plenty of people feel guilty about stuff, and they don't know the mechanics like you've been talking about. They don't know that if you confess your sins, all is forgiven, and those people live with their guilt, and they feel they have to give and give and give and give, sometimes beyond their means even, whereas all they really have to do is rebound their sins, and yeah. It's you're right, it is sad.
I've seen believers that just think they got to make it up to God, and promise God they won't ever do it again, and then they do it again.
Absolutely.
And then they think, well, I must not be saved, or I wouldn't have done that. If I was a Christian, I wouldn't have done that. And Satan really gets you like that. So remember this. You cannot afford to let the past drag you down. God is not sitting out there with a hammer waiting to bust you on the head, okay? So your challenge is this. In Psalm 119, blessed are the undefiled in the way, those who walk in the law of the Lord, and blessed are those who keep his testimonies and who seek him with their whole heart. That's a great verse for you, Mark, as you go off to Marine Corps officer school, as you begin your 4 years of active duty, undefiled in your way, walking in the law of the Lord. Another verse in Psalm 119, your words have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Do you have any favorite scripture verses other than the one you gave us a moment ago?
Well, that's definitely, I think, my favorite verse that I look to a lot. But I think another one is one of my favorite salvation verses I like to say to people is John 3:16. I think that's another great verse, very simple. And like our pastor has taught in the past, it lays out the whole salvation for exactly what you need to become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ.
And so many people think in order to be saved, they got to jump through some kind of hoop. They got to give up smoking, give up drinking.
Mm-hmm. And that's just not true at all.
No. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. This verse in Psalm 119 says, "Your word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways, and I will delight myself in your statutes, and I will not forget your word." Psalm 119, verse 9, "How can a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to the word of God." What a great passage for you as you head off, and we'll be praying for you as you go off into the Marine Corps and as you serve our country. I know that if our country has men like you, then we're in great, great shape. And if anyone would like to get a copy of Mark's testimony or anything that he said here today, all you have to do is write to us here at Rick Hughes Ministries. You can go to the internet, rickhughesministries.org, or you can write to us just a letter. That's P.O. Box 100 in the city of Cropwell, Alabama. You do that, and we'll give you a copy of the CD. There never is a charge for anything we do, so just let us know. Also available are our books on Christian problem solving, and you can see these on the website if you go to the website. And this deals with those 10 unique problem-solving devices. All of it's there for you. And so as someone like Mark picks up the baton of Bible doctrine, picks up the baton of the Word of God and marches into the future, and others like me fade back into the wire and we go back into the ground where we came from, he has to press on. America is a great nation, and we stand on the verge of losing everything unless the Word of God is honored in the future. So my prayer, Mark, is that God will use you as a witness, that God will use you to carry the doctrine, the baton of doctrine into the future, and that eventually you'll be able one day to pass it off to your own son or the young men that follow you in the next generation. Thank you for being with us. If they want to keep up with you, I guess they just have to, how do they get a hold of you?
Well, I'll be in Quantico, Virginia for 6 months, and then after that, wherever the Lord takes me in the Marine Corps.
All right, well, let me just say this. Pray for Mark. Pray for his future. Pray for his mom and daddy as they let him go. It's going to be a great time of testing for everybody. Till next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for being with me on The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.